certainly welcome everyone to the assembly this morning. Good to see our visitors that are here. I've seen the Nichols now about 2 weeks in a row. I think I'm kind of like Brother Terry. I like having the topics. Because when I don't have the topics, my mind just kind of runs all over the place, and I have trouble sometimes deciding what might be a good message to bring to the congregation this morning. Well, this is what we came up with. Maybe it's because I've been surrounded by 6 kids for the last couple days. I don't know. I've got a lesson that I've entitled First Century Facebook. And so you may be thinking to yourself, I didn't realize Facebook existed in the first century. Well, it didn't. But I think there's some principles that go along with it that make Facebook kind of dangerous. You know, we look at social media. It's something that's sort of just taken over our society. You may be one of the few that does not partake of social media. I'll give you some statistics here in a minute. It's pretty much everybody. In some form or fashion has some type of dealing with social media. And being in the education field, I see it all the time. I have seen kids that would just as soon give up their arm as give up their phone. They will not turn that phone over. They are not going to do it because it's like it's attached to their hand and they just can't sever it apart. It's unbelievable how people are with social media. And it's only getting worse, I say. I need to kind of back up a little bit. I'm not saying social media is evil. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it has its place. But we can get addicted to it. We can get to a point where it takes over and consumes our lives. So I'm going to start with the basic premise here, is that human nature has not changed. Only the means by which to express it. And so people are the same today as they were back in the time of the first century, as they were even back in the time of Solomon. When Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, that which has been will always be. That which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. People are the same. And so the things that make Facebook and different types of social media dangerous today are the same things that would have gotten people in trouble back then. They just had a different means by which to express it. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about a little bit this morning. I admit, I look on Facebook. I don't post much on it. I like some of the cartoons. I like some of the funny images that come up. Hey, I like a good old cat video as much as the next fellow. But let me tell you, I stay after these kids. And the only one who's more of a Nazi than I am is Megan. And we check the phones. And we look at the phones. And we want to know what's being seen. And we check messages. And if those kids are going to have all this access, then we're going to have passwords and we're going to have access to it. As the old line goes, it's not that we don't trust them. It's just that we don't trust their judgment. They're just kids. They're young and it's so easy to get involved in some crazy stuff. You know, they don't make movies called The Facebook Killer because Facebook is completely safe. It's not. There's some dangerous things out there in the realm of social media. But I like social media too. It's pretty fun. And I love some of these pictures. And so I guess we'll start with this. I don't know why I find this picture so humorous. And so you may not be able to see it, but that's how Abraham Lincoln held his cell phone. And the caption of it read, "Some people believe that this was photoshopped." And at the bottom it said, "Don't be fooled. A photoshop wasn't invented in the 1800s. Therefore, that's got to be a real picture." I don't know why I find that picture so funny, but there's just this, nothing is as it seems when it comes to social media. You can make anything look the way you want it to make, and it can be a very dangerous situation. So we're going to talk about first century Facebook. Now, I know Facebook didn't exist, but I believe there are some concepts and principles that talk to the human nature that can cause problems with social media. I started to think that this lesson was probably for some of our younger members. And when I say younger, I consider myself. But then again, you're going to see some statistics. It's not just the younger people that are involved in social media. I have a grandmother who probably knows more about Facebook than I do. Nothing wrong with that, but there's just some things we need to be careful of and be aware of, and I think the Bible does give us some instruction on how to do that. But before we go further, let's go to God in the Word. As I begin this lesson on Facebook and social media, I don't want you to think I'm hypocritical coming up and shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. I'll tell you, there's a thing on Facebook called Messenger. And at the bottom of it has games on it. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I've got the high score right now on Basketball Fever. And I've also got the high score on the little snake game where you go around and eat things and it makes the snake get bigger and bigger and you can't touch the ends or the sides of the screen. I've got first place in that one too, and I'm also pretty good on this domino game. I'm pretty much raking in some winnings on the domino game. So I'm not going to tell you that social media is all horrible and bad. It has its place. It's part of our society. But I think there is some things that we need to be familiar with. So let me introduce you to the players. I'm going to call this first century Facebook. Because I guess Facebook is probably the most well-known. It's the one that's most well-accepted, I guess, by a large part of our societies. I'll show you in a second. But Facebook is kind of just representative of all social media. There's some things called Instagram. There's one called Snapchat. Our president has made one called Twitter to be really popular. And I'll tell you, they pop up very, very quickly. And next thing you know, there'll be something else that everybody's into, especially the kids. And some of them scare me. I'll tell you, that one, that Snapchat right there, that one bothers me as a parent trying to navigate through this. Tell me if you can come up with a way for a teenager to abuse this. Snapchat, you could send a picture, and then once you look at it, it vanishes after a couple seconds. And there's no record of it. Can you imagine any way that a teenager could abuse that? I mean, it doesn't take long to figure it out. So as an adult and as a parent, that kind of stuff bothers me. That it worries me. But not all of it's negative. But I also want to say that social media in and of itself is a representation of our society. And so what we see on the Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and so forth really is a slice of what our bigger society is. And as I said earlier, I don't believe human nature has changed. It's just the way that we express it. And we need to be very careful of that as we are trying to navigate our way through this world. So I want to examine a little bit the dangers of Facebook. Let me give you some stats. Okay, this is from, it's called Omnicore Agency. Just came out. This was in, I believe, August of 2017. So this is brand new, fresh information. It says, the average Facebook user has 155 friends. 87% of online users aged 18 to 29 are on Facebook. So that is nearly everyone from 18 to 29. So as I said earlier, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe this is more a lesson for kind of the younger generation, the younger folks of the congregation. Not necessarily. 74% of all college graduates are engaged in Facebook in some form or fashion. 79% of all online users aged 30 to 49. Now we're hitting home. That's my demographic right there. 79%. This one was maybe the most surprising of all, though, to me. 56% of all seniors aged 65 and older are on Facebook in some form or fashion. Maybe it's to keep up with friends and family and classmates and people you don't have touch anymore and it's difficult to travel. Maybe, I don't know. But I thought that was a relatively high number. Being that we think of Facebook and social media as a young person problem. It's not. We all are engaged in it in some form or fashion. Hopefully we're engaged in something that's positive. Because there is a lot of positive aspects of it. A couple more. 48%, almost half, of 18 to 34-year-olds check their Facebook when they first wake up. A lot of times it says they don't even get out of bed. First thing you do is you reach over and you grab your phone and you check your status. You check your Facebook. You see if you have any posts. You see if anybody's liked your comments or your pictures or so forth. And let these stats roll in your mind for a little bit. Every 20 minutes, 1 million links are shared, 20 million friend requests are sent, and 3 million messages are sent. Every 20 minutes. That is mind-boggling. How much social media is involved throughout our world? Got some more for you. Now, this is from the marketing director of Facebook North America. I didn't write her name down, but she had some stats. Average adult, it says, checks their phone 30 times per day to check for messages. 30 times a day, the average adult. So let me ask you, what do you think? We like to use this word millennial. How many times do you think the average millennial checks their phone per day? According to her, 150 times per day. To be honest, I think that number's low. From what I've seen with kids in school, It's every 5 seconds. They've got that phone. They're just checking. And it's addictive. And you just keep looking at it. And it's like you can't put it away. And you'll tell a kid in class, I need to put that phone away. It's just like this. No, that is not going to happen. Because they have to keep checking and updating and sending messages out. It's just a crazy situation. This is where it gets home. This is from a New York Times article. from earlier this month says the average person spends 50 minutes per day on Facebook or some other social media. 50 minutes per day. Take out sleep time, that's about 1/16 of the average wait time is spent on some type of social media. It gets addicting. Sometimes it's hard to put it down. I didn't get to first place on Basketball Fever doing it one time. You start playing those games, you start posting stuff, you start looking at stuff. It is so easy to get caught up and wound up into all of the social media. But I think there's something more to it than that. It's more than just looking at stuff and having, there's something psychological. And I'm not a neuroscientist by any stretch of the imagination, but I can read some of these reports that are coming out just recently. It's kind of scary. This is from the NYU professor named Adam Alter. He wrote a book called Irresistible, The Rise of Addictive Technology. And I want to read this quote. It was transcribed, so sometimes the semantics of it may not seem quite right, but this is what he said. The minute you take a drug, drink alcohol, smoke a cigarette, those are your poison. When you get a like on social media, all of those experiences produce dopamine, which is a chemical that's associated with pleasure. So dopamine is one of those neurotransmitters that is what gets you excited. And that's what it's a pleasure idea, that it's something that fires you up. That's what dopamine is. Kind of like the idea, you look on your phone and three people have liked your picture. And you come back 30 minutes later, there's 14 people have liked that picture. And you get that instant kind of, makes you feel good. You come back an hour later, 47 people have liked that picture. And 22 have shared it with someone else. And you get that little kick, you get that little boost of energy, that's dopamine. That's what dopamine does. And it's the same thing that happens when you drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, take drugs. There's really a connection, they say, between that and heroin. That it's a very, very similar response when you get to social media. He continued, when someone likes an Instagram post, it's a little bit like taking a drug. And as far as your brain is concerned, it's a very similar experience. Now, the reason why is because it's not guaranteed that you're going to get likes on your post. And it's the unpredictability of that process that makes it so addictive. So this is coming from people that are a whole lot smarter than me. But there is something neurological in the brain that makes this stuff so addictive. And it's hard to get away from it. And it's hard to put the phone down. It's hard to put the iPad down because we've got to keep checking our status. We've got to see if anybody else liked my picture because that validates me. And that validates my picture. And it's scary. Watched a video Megan had the other day. She said, you know what the worst thing you can do is you go into a job interview or anything, people will take their cell phone and they will set it on the desk as they're talking to someone else. You know what that says to the other person? That says, you have my undivided attention until that phone rings. And once that phone rings, I'm done. That's what we're telling people. And you see it all the time. I've seen some restaurants that have even gotten to the point that they have started some type of little incentives that if you can put your phone inside of a container and not touch it the whole time and have a normal conversation, they'll give you a free dessert. Something like that. It's gotten that ridiculous for people to put their phones up because it's taken us out of real life and put us into kind of a fantasy world. Then I got this one. This was really worried. An attack on our youth. This is from Britain. It's the Royal Society for Public Health, those two groups, and the Young Health Movement came together and did a survey, almost 1,500 people in the 15 to 24 age group concerning social media. And they rated them on 14 different categories, and then they came back and analyzed the data. This is what they came up with. Four of the following five items were deemed to have a negative effect on the well-being of those kids. And the five that they mentioned were Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Said four of those five were deemed to have a negative effect. Two of them significantly lowered self-esteem and sent people into almost what you would call depression. So for those of y'all who know what it is, these five, some of y'all might not be familiar with all five of them, which one of these one, which is the one that was not deemed to have a negative effect, what would be your guess? The answer is YouTube. YouTube was the only one that was not seen to have a negative effect. I guess there's enough cat videos on there to keep people happy. What do you think the two worst ones were? One and two. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. Those two right there, Snapchat and Instagram. Because they were so focused on images and pictures. And they have these things called filters. I don't know if you know anything about the filters. Some filters put little dog ears on the people. Okay, I don't really have a problem putting dog ears on a picture. But other than that, you can pretty much do whatever you want to with the filter. You want to look 3 inches taller? There's a filter for that. You want to look 20 pounds lighter? There's a filter for that. If you want to add some muscle, there's a filter for that. And it completely distorts reality. And it says a lot of these, especially these kids, are seeing these pictures over and over and over of how perfect everything is, and they can't live up to that picture. Well, of course they can't, because it's fake. It's not reality. So I think we need to be careful of that. So here's our professor again from NYU. He says, one of the problems with Instagram is that everyone presents the very best versions of their lives. What that means is every time you look on someone's feed, you're getting only the very best aspect of their lives, which makes you feel like your life, in comparison with all its messiness, probably isn't as good. Because it's hard to compete with something that's fake. But you can't do it. Because it's not reality. And that's what's happening a lot of the social media. And it's messing with people's brains. It is messing with the neurology of our society. It's scary. So I'm going to give you some biblical parallels. I've got three of them I'm going to look at today. This is Facebook in the first century. Facebook didn't exist. But you know what? The same human nature that causes us to get into this, you know, this dopamine cycle, it happened in the first century too. Just with different means. So we're going to talk about everyone's an expert, reward the narcissist, and everybody's highlight reel. So I think there's some biblical things that we can take from each one. Number one, everyone is an expert. You know what it takes to be an expert on Facebook? A keyboard. And if you have a keyboard, then thereby you are deemed an expert. If you have a phone, you're an expert. You can type in whatever you want to. You can get involved in any conversation. You can comment on whatever you want to. And you are an expert and nobody can doubt you. You can say whatever you want to say. I don't care if you have any idea what you're talking about. Royce, I'm going to get you on this one, Royce. Royce likes to put these things up on his Facebook. And I am convinced he does it just to drive me crazy. No, that's why he does it. He'll put these questions up here that are some type of a math question, and it is rather complicated. There's some math rules that most people don't know. And people will get on and they'll post the answer, and they will say exactly what they did and how they did it and why they did it, and they are completely wrong. And it drives me crazy, and he does that on purpose too, I'm sure. And then the next person will get on and they'll give another answer. And they will give a detailed explanation of how to find the answer, and they're wrong. So I may be a PE major, but hey, I was also a math major. I can tell you how to do that problem. The answer is 8. And I don't care what anybody else says, it's 8. And people will get up there and they will explain it because they are the expert, even though they have no idea what they're talking about. We need to be careful of that. Be careful of trying to get your advice from Facebook or trying to get advice from Instagram or wherever it might be. Trust me, it's 8 because you have to do PEMDAS. You multiply, divide first, then go left to right. Just trust me on that. When I say something, I'm trying to figure it out. I think the Bible talks about the same concept. In James 3 and 1, it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers or masters, that's what the King James Version renders it, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So we're talking about the church. If we want instruction in the church, be careful looking for it on Facebook. Because everybody's an expert on Facebook. It says don't be many teachers. Because teachers are going to have a stricter judgment or greater condemnation. I might say it like this. With greater influence comes great responsibility. And so whether we're talking about the church or whether we're talking about society in general, be careful who you get your advice from. We need to find people who know what they're talking about. You can go ask anybody, and you're going to get a response. Facebook is going to give you a response. And sometimes it's probably good advice. And other times, they're going to tell you how to do that problem wrong. And they're going to convince you. And they have no idea what they're talking about. Not everyone is qualified to be a teacher, whether in the church or in society in general. We studied not too many months ago, our study of topic was about Sunday school. And I think I took that away more than anything else. that not everyone is qualified to be a teacher. And one of the major problems with Sunday school is that when you start splitting people up and you start to divide the assembly, and you have different people teaching, and all of a sudden you're getting anyone and everyone to teach, the congregation loses the ability to have control over the teaching. And you lose that authority of what is being taught in the assembly. And I think that's very, very important. The congregation has the responsibility to maintain the integrity of what is being taught. Not everyone is qualified to be a teacher. And I'm not the one that sets the qualifications. It's the Lord that set the qualifications. And we need to respect that and be aware of that. Romans 2 and 21. There's a whole passage here where Paul is getting on to these Jewish teachers. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? In other words, if you're going to be a teacher, you better know what you're talking about. You better have taught and educated yourself before you try to educate others. Because if not, you can say whatever you want to say. You can post whatever you want to post. And you're an expert. Simply because you own a keyboard. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Then I thought about this verse in 2 Timothy 2 and 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And I thought to myself, does that not sum up most of the comments in the Facebook? There is just random nonsense and people tossing out whatever they want to when they don't know what they're talking about. And if it's a math problem, I'm here to tell you, that's going to drive me crazy because I know the answer. And that's not right. But it comes in all forms and fashions. People are looking for advice. And they're thinking they're getting expert advice. You never know. You better be careful. Number two, it rewards the narcissist. I suppose to a certain degree we are all somewhat narcissistic. If you don't know what that word means, narcissist means you want the spotlight on you. You want people to pay attention to you. It's all about you. And in some degree, I suppose we're all like that. When we do something well, we like to have positive feedback. We like people to know that we've done something. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with desiring a little pat on the back sometimes for a job well done. But you can progress until you get to the point where it's beyond what's acceptable. So when you get onto the Facebook, it likes to put that little picture up. What's on your mind? And so now the narcissist has been given a platform to tell whatever they want to and completely focus everything on themselves. And it's for the wrong reason. It's for the wrong reason. And now we'll have people post in the morning, you know, what they're wearing, what they're having for breakfast, what they do, who they talk to. And it's just like a running commentary of people's lives to these 155 friends that they don't know, that are in some kind of a social cloud. It's for the wrong reasons. Facebook can reward the narcissist. And it can take a narcissistic person completely out of reality. I thought about this as a Bible parallel here. Luke 20 and 45. The Lord spent a lot of time dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. And so we're going to talk about that in the next couple of sections here. He said, beware of the scribes. This is Jesus speaking. And it says, in the hearing of all the people. So he made sure everybody heard this. In the hearing of all the people, he said to the disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, the best seats at the feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Now, if you take out devour widows' houses, I think what that's in reference to is they were taking advantage of the old people who were providing them money. They were providing funds to the temple. But if you take out that one little phrase here, is any of this wrong? Is it wrong to wear a long robe? Is it wrong to greet someone in the marketplace? Is it wrong to like the best seats at the synagogue? Is it wrong to like the best seats at a feast? Is it wrong to offer a long prayer? I don't think so. The idea behind it is it's not the action that's being condemned, but it's the purpose. They were narcissistic. They wanted the spotlight on them. They liked to walk around in their long flowing robes. And if they were going to offer a prayer, you know what they do now? They call it Facebook Live. That's what they'd be doing. They'd be live streaming their prayers so that everybody can hear it and everybody can see how righteous and how great they were. See, to the narcissist, Facebook and social media can take over because it gives you a platform to say what you're thinking, when you're thinking it, what I'm doing, here's what I'm going to do later, and it gives that pretense. There's another passage I thought of in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 9, it says, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for a woman professing godliness with good works." There's a real big word here, moderation. I think that's the key to what he's saying. Is there, because I remember Aaron asked me one time when she heard this verse, does that mean I'm not supposed to ever make a braid in my hair? No, I don't think that's what that means. These women that had money would get gold and they would braid the gold inside of their hair to make it stand out, to show how rich they were, to show how influential they were. And they would wear these great pearls. They'd wear these costly clothing. That wasn't the point. Again, I don't think it's the action necessarily that's being condemned. It's the purpose. What is costly clothing? What defines costly? I mean, I give about $150 for these boots right here. So does that make it costly? Pretty costly to me, because I'm not going to go buy another pair. So I mean, I'm not supposed to wear these boots? I don't think that's what that means at all. It's not necessarily the action. It's the purpose. If we go around and we're trying to make people think that we're something that we're not, and we want eyes on us, and we're narcissistic, and we love people to look at us and talk to us and post about us and comment about us, and we want to count how many likes we have. Oh, we got 50 that like this shirt. Oh, I come back to 75. Now we've got that dopamine kicked in. And the next thing you know, we're getting addicted to it. And the teacher says, put your phone down, and you can't. It's like it's fused to your finger. You just can't do it because people get so wound up in this. I wonder how many hours are wasted in the workplace by people playing on Facebook. They just can't put it down. That's what happens. So the narcissistic person, Facebook's a real danger to them because they can just take over. You know, I think some people are probably a little more predisposed to get into extreme activities, just the way the brain is wired. Some people are a little bit more, they may want to do those jumping off the building things that those guys in the big cities do. I don't remember what they called it, but they like to jump off of buildings and land on different things. I think that's crazy. But some people are kind of into that extreme stuff. I think some people may be a little more tempted by alcohol. I think some people may be a little more tempted by drugs just because of the way the brain is wired. And some people they're just a little bit more into the edgy things. Same way with social media. If you're a narcissistic person, you better be careful of social media. Number three, everybody's highlight reel. When it comes to Facebook, here's the thing. We only see what everybody wants us to see. And so we can go through all these posts and we see a look at the best of the best of people's lives. I'll tell you this quick little story. And I won't say her name because several of y'all know her. It's one of Megan's friends. A couple years ago, she went on a big trip to the zoo. She had her three kids. Her brother went with her and brought his two kids, I think, and grandma went, I think aunt and uncle went, and they had a big old time at the zoo. Pictures and everything, and everybody's a big old happy family. Posted them all on Facebook, and great picture. And then she tells us later, you see that picture out there, the one where everybody's so happy, and what a great day it was at the zoo? She said, you should have seen us about 20 minutes earlier. They had lost one of the kids. And the entire zoo had to go on lockdown. No one could go in, no one could go out until that kid was found. So they're having, I guess, search the lion's den and the bear enclosure to make sure that kid didn't wander in somewhere. Everybody was hollering and screaming and yelling. She said it was mass panic and chaos. Everybody's mad at each other trying to figure out whose fault it was that the kid got lost. And then the kid was found. Everything is good. So now let's all line up and take a picture and post it on Facebook. And to a person looking, you see, wow, what a wonderful life they have. They have no problems in their life. 20 minutes earlier, they were searching the lion's den for a kid. Kind of scary, but that's what Facebook does. We only see the best of what we want. You may not be able to read this little picture. I thought this was funny. May your life someday be as awesome as you pretend it is on Facebook. And that's what we do. It's a highlight reel. We put the best of the best, and we make our lives look so good. And unfortunately, it's not reality. For a biblical parallel, I thought about the old Pharisees again. Matthew 23, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. These Pharisees had put on this great production, and they were so worried about the outside, what people saw. But they didn't take care of the inside. The outside and the inside didn't match. In fact, it even uses that word, hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrites is a really neat word. From Easton's Bible Dictionary, it says it's one who puts on a mask and feigns himself to be what he is not. So if you've ever seen, like, the one-act play symbol in high school is two masks. It's got the happy mask and it's got the sad mask. And that's what it goes back to, is the idea of an actor being able to put on this mask. And right now, I'm going to pretend like I am happy and everything is great and I've got everything where it needs to be. And then you can take that mask off and put on the sad mask. And you can instantly become sad and downtrodden and depressed. That's what a hypocrite is. So you're being an actor. And he's telling these scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. You're nothing but actors. You are pretending like you're righteous. You're pretending like you are doing what you're supposed to. You are reciting lines. You're reciting a script, but it's not true. He gets on them again, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I think about everybody's highlight reel on Facebook. You can make your life look however you want to. You can make your life look like it's the most carefree, wonderful thing you've ever seen, and it's not true. Inside, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. It happens every single day. Be careful what you see on Facebook. The Lord got onto the Pharisees again in Luke chapter 11, 39. It says, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. And we see it all the time. That's one thing I like about the Bible. And that's one thing that's different about the Bible and Facebook, is that the Bible tells it like it is. It tells the truth, whether good or bad. Whether it makes the characters look good or bad, it's going to tell the truth. And I thought about a couple examples of that. One I came up with was 2 Samuel chapter 6. Actually, this was Megan. Remember the story of Uzzah? I guess they pronounce his name. And they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant down. And the Ark kind of stumbled a little bit. And so he just reached up and touched it to keep it from falling. But he wasn't allowed to touch it. And God killed him right there and then. He dropped him to the ground. Just because he touched the Ark of the Covenant, which was not his responsibility. It says, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against us, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God. Boy, that makes God look harsh. That makes God look cruel. You wouldn't post something like that on Facebook. You would want people to see you in a good light, but hey, the Bible tells it like it is. Even King David, it says he became angry because of the Lord's outbreak. I'd have been angry too. But see, the Bible's going to post good, bad. Otherwise, it's not going to sugarcoat things. It's not going to make David and take away the mistakes that he made. No, it's going to tell him. It's not going to make Peter look to be something that he's not. No, he's going to explain it. We're not going to get everybody's highlight. The idea is Facebook can change. Instagram can change. You can put filters on it. You can make it look however you want to. But that's not the way the Bible is. In fact, Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's not going to change. So God's true. He's not going to change. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 and 18, he can't lie. God is true. Why would we choose to place all of our confidence in man who has been deceptive from the very beginning? But that's what we do. We try to compare ourselves sometimes to this highlight reel that we see on the Facebook, and it's not real. We need to place our trust in God. Because God is real. So in conclusion, I like social media. There's nothing wrong with playing on Facebook a little bit. Let me tell you, it can be very damaging to people, especially our youth. And so, yes, kids, I'm going to check your Facebook and your Instagram and Snapchat and all that kind of stuff, because it can be very damaging if you're not using it properly. As a society, I think it's safe to say we're spending an inappropriate amount of time. 50 minutes a day That's a lot of time to spend on Facebook. Let me remind you, God never represents himself falsely. But mankind does every single day. Nearly every single post is probably not 100% true representation. And the Bible is true. Good or bad, it's going to tell it the way that it is. So we need to think about that. When we pull up social media, remember, not everybody's an expert. We need to remember that some people are narcissistic and they're being rewarded by this platform. And we need to remember that what we're seeing is the best of the best. It's everybody's highlight reel. It is not necessarily true. My advice, disconnect as much as you can. If you want to check Facebook, that's fine. If you want to check an Instagram, that's fine. But disconnect as much as possible. Don't get stuck. Instead of spending 50 minutes a day on that, you know what we can do instead? Think about Philippians 4. You want to spend 50 minutes a day doing something? How much better of a world would we be if we could get everybody to spend 50 minutes a day doing this? 350 minutes a day doing what Paul said in Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what we need to spend 50 minutes a day on. We need to spend more than 50 minutes a day on. But could you imagine the difference that it would make if we would all commit to spending time meditating and thinking about those things instead of worrying about what color the dress is on Facebook? It just gets crazy how much time we can waste and not use for the proper service. I'm going to leave with one more thought. April reported the Harvest Business Review. Had a big old title. The more you use Facebook, the worse you feel. Studies are coming out that overindulgence in social media is actually raising people's depression. It's actually raising suicide rates. The people who are involved in that have higher rates of depression because what they're facing is not reality. It's fake. And the one thing that we know is true is God. And if we will put our emphasis and if we will meditate on things that are pure and noble and true and just, what a better world we would have. And that concludes my remarks. That concludes my thoughts. The lesson is yours on first century Facebook. We'd never like to close, though, without having a song of invitation. Does anybody need to help in the church? We stand ready to assist.